The thing is, Head Start was never just intended to be about preschool. To understand what it is about, we have to go back to 1965. May 18th, exactly.
On this beautiful spring day, it's good to be outside in the Rose Garden.
President Lyndon Johnson stands in front of reporters. Joining him is Sergeant Shriver, a lifetime civil servant who would later be remembered as the architect of Johnson's war on poverty.
This is a very proud occasion for him and for us today, because it was less than 3 months ago that we opened a new war front on poverty. We set out to make certain that poverty's children would not be forevermore poverty's captives. We called our program Project Head Start.
And though the origins of the project could be traced all the way back to the Kennedy administration, it was on this spring day that Head Start became a reality.
Today, we're able to announce that we will have open and we believe operating this summer, coast to coast, some 2,000 child development centers serving as many as possibly 500,000 children. This means that nearly half the preschool children of poverty will get a head start on their future. These children will receive preschool training to prepare them for regular school in September. They will get medical and dental attention that they badly need. And parents will receive counseling on improving the home environment.
That first summer of Head Start would really just be a pilot project compared to what the program has become in the 47 years since the announcement. But it's clear from Johnson's speech that he never saw Head Start as just an education program. In fact, it's not in the Department of Education. For him, this was an ambitious, all-out assault on the cycle of poverty.
It shows that we're recognizing that poverty perpetuates itself. 5- and 6-year-old children are inheritors of poverty's curse and not its creators. Unless we act, these children will pass it on to the next generation like a family birthmark. This program this year means that 30 million man years, the combined lifespan of these youngsters, will be spent productively and rewardingly rather than wasted in tax-supported institutions or in welfare supported lethargy. I believe that this is one of the most constructive and one of the most sensible and also one of the most exciting program that this nation has ever undertaken.
You are listening to a State of Opportunity special on Michigan Radio. I'm Dustin Dwyer. This hour, we've been talking about the importance of preschool for kids in poverty. And what you just heard was some old scratchy tape of President Lyndon Johnson announcing Head Start in 1965. Now, more than 47 years since that announcement, Head Start has served tens of millions of children in poverty. Its total cost over the years, more than $130 billion. So, did it work? That simple question has a maddening answer. Let's start by trying to answer it on the small scale. If you talk to a parent or a teacher, you will hear that Head Start is clearly, undeniably helping kids. Sarah Traxler teaches the class at Rogers Lane Head Start that we visited earlier. That visit was actually in the fall, not too long after some of the kids first enrolled.
And, you know, they've already, just in the few months that they've been here, made a lot of gains as far as writing their name, recognizing some letters in their names.
This is not a subjective measure for Traxler. She actually has to track these things, another requirement of Head Start.
I have a list with everybody's name in the class on it, so I make my little notes here, and then I'll go later today to the computer, and I'll enter the information that I have. Then that keeps track of it for me.
And so far, so good. But of course, this is one teacher, one class. There are 1,600 Head Start agencies around the country. Many of them have more than one class. Almost 1 million kids every year go through Head Start. We want to know if it's working at that level. Is it ensuring, as President Johnson promised, that poverty's children would not become poverty's captives?
the research on Head Start is, at this point, clearly contradictory.
That's Tim Bartik. He's an economist at the Upjohn Institute in Kalamazoo, and he's one of the most rigorous researchers in America who studies early education.
On the one hand, there's been a number of very good studies, non-experimental studies, but good control groups, good comparison groups, that strongly suggest significant long-term effects of Head Start.
Bartik says one of these studies compared siblings when one went to Head Start and one didn't. Researchers found that the child who did attend Head Start was more likely to graduate high school and go to college, among other benefits. Another study looked at counties with high poverty rates where Head Start programs were put in place in the mid-60s and compared them to other counties with high poverty rates that did not get Head Start that early. In this study, the counties where Head Start was in place actually had fewer child deaths, possibly because of the Head Start health screenings. The study also found evidence that counties with Head Start had more kids who graduated high school.
So you have that research. Then you have this other research. There's been a random assignment experiment with Head Start that Congress mandated, and they've been following up. And what they found is that in terms of math and reading test scores, a lot of the effects of Head Start seem to fade by the time the kids are in first grade. You can find the effects when kids are in kindergarten, but by first grade or so, a lot of the effects seem to have faded. So what on earth is going on here?
What's going on, basically, is that after 47 years and $130 billion in investment, we don't know whether Head Start is working. Or at least we can't agree on how to measure whether it's working. It may very well be that what Head Start does, what all preschool does, is not something that really shows up on an elementary school math or language test. Bartik says what could be happening is that kids in preschool are developing what he calls soft skills. Social skills, emotional skills, attention, focus, perseverance. Those executive functions we keep hearing about. And that's what leads to higher graduation rates and higher earnings 20 years later. But, Bartik says, even if you take this view, the results from Head Start are decent, but still not as impressive as many other preschool projects.
So what lesson do you take from that? I mean, the lesson I take from that is not that preschool doesn't work. The lesson I take from it is preschool works if it's run in a high-quality way. Head Start needs to up its game. And, in fact, people are trying to do that.
Thank you. Thank you, everybody. Please have a seat.
In November of 2011, President Obama stood in front of an audience in Yadin, Pennsylvania, to announce what is possibly the biggest regulatory change in Head Start's 47-year history.
Now, under the old rules governing Head Start, there just wasn't enough accountability. If a program wasn't providing kids with quality services, there was no incentive to improve.
To understand what the Obama administration changed, you need to remember that the federal government doesn't actually run Head Start organizations around the country. Instead, Head Start funding comes in the form of grants. Until 2011, those grants were pretty much guaranteed to be renewed. But now, if a local Head Start doesn't meet certain criteria, the Obama administration will open up its grant to competition.
If classrooms are unsafe, if finances aren't in order, if kids aren't learning what they need to learn, then other organizations will be able to compete for that grant. We're not just going to put money into programs that don't work. We will take money and put them into programs that do. If a group's going to do a better job for the community, then they need that support.
After this announcement, about 130 Head Starts across the country were forced to reapply for federal funding in 2011. Five of them were in Michigan. The government was supposed to announce the winners of the new grants by the end of 2012. That didn't happen, so now those programs are just waiting to hear. Mary Hochwalt is not one of the people waiting on an answer. Kent County Head Start met the criteria to keep its funding. And she says she is in favor of accountability. But even she isn't exactly clear on how the government is applying these new rules.
What's confusing to many Head Starts, I think, is that sometimes there's reports of one instance, one thing that was out of compliance or what they call a finding and they're theoretically thrown into recompetition. That's a concern.
The new standards have 7 criteria that each Head Start must meet. Sounds simple enough, but within that there are subparagraphs and reporting requirements and dates that certain things must be submitted. Hochwalt's point is, what if a local Head Start is doing everything right, but the paperwork gets turned in a week late? As written, the new federal rules say that Head Start could have its grant put up for outside competition. Now, if you're an outsider just trying to understand all this stuff, it doesn't take long for it all to sound just like a bunch of bureaucratic nonsense. And it gets back to the point from earlier that we haven't really decided what we're trying to get out of Head Start or how to measure it. Do we want it to improve test scores for kids? Or do we want it to lift kids out of poverty? Those are similar goals, but they're not the same goals. And Head Start is suffering from the confusion.
Does it feel like we know what we're trying to get out of this? Or at least, do you feel like the government and the structure that you're asked to operate under knows what it wants from you?
Boy, that's a really good question.